This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad that you've tuned us in. And again, if you would like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of this program. The website contains a weekly meditation. You can get on the email list for that and have it sent to you if you would like. And this radio program is on the website. You can re-listen to it there or download it there. And if you would like to be placed on the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish the meditations in from time to time, you'll need to send me your name and address so that I can send it on to them. That's a free subscription to that magazine published 11 times a year. Now, if you need those addresses, get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write them down at the close of the program. Now, we're working our way through Luke chapter 12. And the section we worked with last time had to do with worrying. And we know that we all have a problem with that. And the Lord is basically saying that if we would trust him, we wouldn't have to worry because he would take care of us. He doesn't say that we'd have a lot of wealth amassed ahead. He doesn't say that we would be successful as far as the world is concerned. But he says that if he takes care of the sparrow, if he can count the hairs on her head, if he can clothe the flower in the field like he does, he can take care of us. And so the Lord is not only telling us that salvation is a practical thing, that salvation is an eternal thing, it's a practical thing as well. Salvation not only gives us peace with God now, and enables us to rely on him knowing that we're not alone now, but it also saves us from the penalty that our sin deserves for eternity. And when I think about what the Lord has done for us and the love he has shown to us and the way that he has kept us up to this present time, whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, he has kept you. He has sustained you. He's given you your next breath. And when I think of all that the Lord has done in that way, I ask myself, why would a person not want to know this kind of a benevolent God as their Savior? And of course, when I say you need to know this kind of a benevolent God as your Savior, I want to emphasize the fact that there is no other God. Our God is a loving, caring, giving, merciful, gracious God. And he has not only provided for the forgiveness of our sins, and we need to recognize that. We need to trust him for that. We need to repent and quit arguing with God about all of the things that Satan brings up as objections to that. We need to just trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and we'll be saved for eternity. We'll be born again. But at the same time, we will not have to worry in this life. And now we go into another section, and it has to do with the Lord's coming again. And I want to read that with you because one thing the Lord emphasizes over and over again to his disciples, and they didn't fully comprehend it, was that he was going to be crucified. He was going to die. But that was not going to be the end of the story. He not only was going to die, he was going to be raised from the dead. And in being raised from the dead, he was going to prove his victory over sin and death and hell and Satan. And when he was raised from the dead, that wasn't going to be the end of the story because he was going to ascend into heaven. And he did that 40 days after he was raised from the dead. And the disciples saw him as he ascended into heaven. And that wasn't going to be the end of the story because the end of the story was going to be he was going to come again. And the disciples, the early disciples, when you read through the Acts of the Apostles, in my mind, they were expecting the Lord to come momentarily. We call that an imminent coming of the Lord Jesus. They thought it would happen in their lifetimes, but it didn't happen in their lifetimes. And now we look at the message the Lord gave, and he says it's still not the end of the story. And he tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3 that he hasn't come because it's not because he's slow concerning his promise, as some men count slowness or slackness, but he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. And so he is waiting for a few more to be saved. And so that's why he hasn't come yet. But the Lord is coming again. And when he comes again, then he will judge the earth with regard to their sin, their turning aside to idols, their serving gods of their own vain imaginations. He's going to come and establish himself as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so he is coming again, but because the coming again of the Lord has been delayed in a sense, the Lord gives us some real truth, some admonition in this next section, which we're going to read together now in Luke chapter 12, starting at verse 33. He says, starting at verse 35, "Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if the Lord should come in the second watch or in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect." Then Peter said to him, "Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people?" And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise servant whom his master will make ruler over his household? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two, and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of them they will ask the more." And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. Now, it's obvious the Lord is going to come again, and we are to be ready when he comes. That's what it means to have our loins girded. Old Testament and in the New, they often wore robes, and when they were going to walk fast or run, they would gird up those robes, put a belt around the robe in such a way that it would not interfere with their running or walking. And so they were to have their loins girded. They were to be ready to go at a moment's notice. And they were to have their lamps burning. And as far as I'm concerned, the burning of the lamps has to do with the preaching of the gospel. But it doesn't have to do just with verbal preaching of the gospel. It has to do with preaching the gospel by the way we live, so that people understand that we are light in this world. And it has to do with preaching the gospel by accurately telling the people around us about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are to let our waist be girded and our lamps burning. And that's throughout this whole period, because we come down through this section and find out that it might be in the second watch of the night. It might be in the third watch of the night. And it turns out, if I understand it right, that the night was divided into four watches. And he's picked the second and the third watch. I think in another passage, he even mentions the possibility of the fourth watch of the night. And so if we don't know what watch of the night, what part of the night he's coming in, we need to be ready at all times. And sometimes we say, well, we can't know when the Lord is coming because he's coming as a thief in the night. Well, that is true. We can't know when the Lord is coming because he's coming as a thief in the night. And it says that here. If the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. But the fact that he's coming as a thief in the night has to do not only with the fact that we don't know when he's coming, but it has to do with the fact that we don't expect him to come. If we are waiting and watching, we will be prepared at any time. And that's sort of the situation with a thief. we would prepare our homes, and we do prepare our homes in areas where people do break in and steal. But there's a lot of places where they have never experienced that kind of violence, that kind of indignity, I guess I would say, and they leave their doors open. When I first had my home in Waverly, where I lived for many years, Waverly, Iowa, there was a lot of times we never locked the door. Fact of the matter is, we really never locked the door. We could go into our garage through the basement, and the garage door to the house was never locked. And for many years, the outside door to the basement was easily accessible. We didn't lock it either. We didn't have a garage door opener. You could have just opened the garage door and walked in. And it wasn't until we found out that the insurance probably would not have paid for a break-in because we weren't locking the doors that we started locking them. But we didn't expect the thief to come. And so not only does the Lord come as a thief because we don't know when he's coming, but he comes as a thief because we don't expect him to come. And we've reached that day when people are like that. They say, where is the promise of his coming? According to 2 Peter 3, for since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they have since the foundations of the earth. And I think we've reached a day when we have become unfaithful servants. We are, in many cases, mistreating the Lord's own. We are mistreating servants. We are not doing the Lord's will. We're not waiting. We're not watching. We don't have our loins girded. We don't have our light, our lamps lit. And that is just exactly when we need to be most concerned about the Lord's return. People are concerned about conditions in the world today, and I want to assure you that no president, no world leader will ever be able to cure the problems of this world. The only one who is able to cure the problems of this world is the Lord Jesus, because he's the only one who has power over sin and death and hell and Satan. He's the only one who can cure the problems of this world. And so when you're trying to find leaders that will cure the problems, remember that that's never, while we need to try to have good leaders, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be concerned about that. Remember, our real problem is that we need to be having our lights burning and preaching the gospel, because that's the thing that will change hearts, and that's the thing that will keep us from being completely overtaken by sin, is if we really preach and depend on the Lord Jesus to do the work that he came to do. Now, we thank thee, our God, for thy love and for thy salvation, and we just pray that those who are saved will have their lights burning and their loins girded, and may we be waiting and watching for the Lord's return. We just thank thee for thy love in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. And the website, bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.